Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life.
Hello, and welcome to Faith and Film. This is episode 2 of our monthly podcast film reviews with Father Peter Malone. Father Peter, down the line from Melbourne, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's actually late at night now. The distance between ourselves is increasing in terms of daylight saving and the ending of daylight saving for you.
That's it.
I think we're 10 hours difference at the moment.
Soon to be 11. 11 for our next monthly podcast, Peter.
It will be, yes.
Now, we had a bit of a ramble about ourselves and how we know one another, and hopefully building up your fantastic credentials as a top film reviewer. We've got 3 films, Peter. We've gone for Gone Girl, which is making waves, a film called The Judge with Robert Downey Jr., Robert Duvall, and The Maze Runner, another sort of young adult post-apocalyptic film. And 2 of those 3, Peter, are sort of book-to-film translations, of which there seem to be quite a few these days.
They do indeed. I was given a gift of Gone Girl for my birthday, and I decided not to read it till after I'd seen the film. So I can't really comment on how close the book is to the film, except that the author herself, Gillian Flynn, wrote both.
Well, I'm thinking that you're going to get some who are fans of the book going to see the film. That always happens. But I'm glad you said that, actually, because I much prefer it when they're judged as separate creative entities, really.
They are indeed. And I think that I'll enjoy the book. I'll be able to keep in mind Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. I don't think that'll do any harm as I read the book, imagining the people in the film.
Well, let's start then, Peter, and talk about Gone Girl, seeing as that's where we're at. Now, for me, it's not really Gone Girl as Where's the Wife?
Yes, I think Gone Girl is a terrible title for the novel and the film. But somehow it's got into the consciousness, so it's there forever. But yes, Where is the Wife would be much closer. Just as an aside, I saw Before I Go to Sleep the other day with Nicole Kidman and Colin Firth. But it really should have been called When I Wake Up. But anyhow, that's quibbling about titles.
We can rewrite these things further down the line. But in terms of Gone Girl, Ben Affleck obviously is a name that stands out. In fact, I saw him having a bit of a rumble on Islamophobia on a US TV station the other day. But this one, there's a lot of suspicion as to whether he has killed his wife, isn't there?
Well, it opens up very trickily with him saying something about killing his wife. But it's a bit out of context, so it leads us to believe that, yes, perhaps he has killed his wife who has disappeared. But they find something of her diary, and so you've got some flashbacks to when they met. So Rosamund Pike, who portrays the wife, actually appears pretty soon in the film, even through flashback. And so it builds up a whole kind of tension. He goes to the police, and a character actress called Kim Dickens, I couldn't place her during the film. She's been around for many years, but I think as the police investigator, this is one of her best roles. And there's an actress whose name escapes me for the moment, and I hadn't heard of, who portrays Ben Affleck's twin sister. And Neil Patrick Harris is associated with the wife. So it's got quite an interesting cast who give very good performances.
Yeah, I noticed from your review you were particularly taken by Rosamund Pike.
Oh, I think everybody has been. It's, to me, quite an extraordinary performance. She is mainly in the second part of the film, without giving anything away why that should be. She's a British actress, appeared in a number of British films. I think she was a Bond girl in Die Another Day. She's moved to a lot of American films as well, and I was very impressed by her performance. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets an Oscar nomination.
You got to the bar around 11 today. Where were you before that, just to cross that off?
Well, I was home. I left at 9:30. I got a cup of coffee, newspaper. I went to Sawyer Beach and read the news.
Did you visit with anyone there?
Well, I mean, I kind of go to Sawyer Beach for the solitude.
So, your wife has no friends here. Is she kind of standoffish? Ivy League? Rubs people the wrong way?
She's from New York. She's complicated. She's got very high standards.
Type A? Well, that can make you crazy if you're not like that. You seem pretty laid back. Type B. Speaking of which, Amy's blood type.
God, I don't know. I have to look it up at the house.
You don't know if she has friends. You don't know what she does all day. And you don't know your wife's blood type.
Sure, y'all are married.
Maybe it's type O.
Where are her folks? New York?
Yeah.
Can they get here in time for this press conference tomorrow?
Tomorrow? I have no idea. I haven't talked to them.
You haven't called your wife's parents
yet? I mean, you can't get a signal in this building. I've been in here talking to you.
Well, call them, please, Nick. Now.
Fine. Should I know my wife's blood type?
Now, with this one, it's an 18 certificate. It's quite strong in parts. Tell us a bit about the themes that we might be interested in.
Well, from the first half of the film, we see it from Ben Affleck's point of view, and then we discover that he's perhaps not as admirable a character as we thought, and, as I say, the possibility that he has killed his wife. But in the second part of the film, the focus is on the wife, and I don't want to say anything too much about how it goes, but let me say she comes across as a very strong and forceful, sometimes surprisingly forceful character. So you've got this kind of contrast, and not having read the book, I was in suspense.
Now, obviously, there's clearly some strong character performances here, some good acting. What would you say about this one? Is it one you can recommend people go to or not?
Well, I was going to say yes, but in the last couple of days, I've been listening to a couple of people who actually took rather a dim view of it, in the sense they found it very hard. They were surprised at some moments of violence, and they weren't as enthusiastic as I thought they might have been. On the other hand, it's made $5 million here in Australia just in the last week, and as we speak, it's crossed the $100 million in the United States. So, obviously, it is touching something with people. One of the hesitations that I might have picked up from people, they thought it was rather misogynistic in its presentation of the relationship between the husband and wife. Often the wife is not presented in the most complimentary way, shall we speak. But it is a female author, so again, that raises interesting questions about how do you present women on screen today in difficult relationships.
Well, that's Gone Girl, directed by David Fincher, and the screenplay, Peter, as you say, that's actually by the novelist, isn't it, Gillian Flynn?
It is.
So, a strong film, good acting, may or may not be one for our listeners. We'll leave them to judge that one. And talking of judging, do you see how I'm going to segue into this one, Peter?
The Very Judge. Subtle. Yes.
Sledgehammer subtlety. The Judge, a film directed by David Dobkin. It's Robert Downey Jr., who, my goodness, has had his ups and downs. And we've talked about Robert Duvall, an actor I'm particularly partial to, actually. And Robert Downey Jr.'s nemesis in this one, Billy Bob Thornton. Tell us a little bit about this one, because I know there are some themes we're interested in here.
When I went to see it, I was a bit put off because a local reviewer referred to it as something like soap opera. And I thought, with all those credentials, soap opera doesn't sound to be the right thing. However, in the first half hour or so, I thought, well, he's not entirely wrong, because they were setting up the characters, and Robert Downey Jr. is one of these smart aleck, very clever, shrewd, mainly defence lawyers, and he receives news that his mother has died. Now, he's alienated from his family, who live in Indiana, while he's in Chicago, and has not made much contact with them. So when he goes back home, he's got to meet his father, the judge, whom he's definitely alienated from and has bad memories. He meets his older brother, Vincent D'Onofrio, who had an accident when he was young and destroyed his baseball career, and then an autistic brother, Nate, Jeremy Strong. So we have all this kind of introduction, reintroduction to the son, to the hometown. That had a touch, I suppose, of episodes of soap operas. But then it gets underway. There's a particular situation. The judge is a very righteous man, and there's a car accident in which he is involved. Whether he's involved deliberately or whether it's an accident, because it happened on the day that his wife was buried, and he was certainly upset. He has cancer, and one of the lines was that he was 72, and I realised then that when he made it, Robert Duvall, in fact, was 82. So it's quite a performance, and he's up to his usual standard, strong standard.
Why'd you pull me out of Boy Scouts?
as punishment for blowing up the McCraw's mailbox with M80s.
I was 13. That you remember.
Oh,
that.
Old enough to know better.
You didn't come to my high school graduation or college.
Why? Jail time. Truancy. I was going to reward anything.
I graduated from law school, for Christ's sake.
As opposed to what, dropping out? Let me tell you something, okay? Here. I put a roof over your head, money in your pocket, clothes on your back, food in your mouth. Who paid for that college education? Your mother?
Well, we've talked about Robert Duvall in our Lent and Easter movies and also our Advent movies. He's come up quite a bit when it comes to films that touch upon Catholic themes, themes that we're interested in, enduring themes. Now, I think there'd be quite a few of those in this one, Peter. Justice, redemption, you know, forgiveness. And also, of course, with the other relationship with his daughter, obviously divorce and the challenges of fatherhood. A lot to keep us interested, isn't there?
Well, yes. What I found most interesting was the court scenes, because in the situation, his father, who was very tough on the boy when he was young, thought that he was going in the wrong direction and thought that the best way to help him would be to be harsh, but it alienated the son. But anyhow, he becomes his father's defense lawyer, which is where Billy Bob Thornton comes in as the prosecutor. He doesn't come in until later in the film, so there's a kind of battle of interrogations and cross-examinations, which I found very interesting, plus different aspects of evidence coming up. But I think in the interplay between father and son, possibilities of reconciliation, and yet each kind of, you know, three steps forward, two steps back kind of thing. So on that level, people who are interested in father-son relationships, I think will find the film very, very interesting. Those who enjoy court cases, I think in the second part of the film, they'll enjoy that as well.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like there's a little bit for everyone in that. Just quickly on this one, Robert Downey Jr. Now, he's a man who's had his ups and downs, isn't he? What's his performance like in this one?
It's very good. In a way, it's a bit like what he always does. I think they cast him because he's very quick-witted and has a way with words and rather expert timing for repartee. There's a lot of that in this, so it's not unfamiliar Robert Downey Jr., but it's I think, a very good performance.
Highest paid actor in Hollywood, allegedly, but there we go. Shall we move on, Peter?
We shall, yes.
Our third and final film. Now, this is, I'm not going to say it's going to have a little flavour of last month's films, but The Maze Runner, Peter, by Wes Ball, the director. Now, this is another that makes us think of the Hunger Games series, Divergent. The Giver was one we talked about last month. As I said in the intro, is this something of a young adult post-apocalyptic sort of science fiction romp around the place?
It is. So that's easy to answer. Yes, it is.
The maze figures, obviously, doesn't it?
It does. It opens with a young man arriving up, coming up an elevator and arriving in this grove. And there are a number of young people there, not all that many, but apparently one a month arrives. But the central character, strong character, doesn't take it easily. And so he starts to be rebellious in small ways, even within the first couple of days. And so he makes friends with some of the young people in the group, but also alienates, I think, somebody who thought he was a leader, played by the British actor Will Poulter, who I think is very good. And he believes you obey all the rules and you don't go, well, you can might go near the maze, but you don't go into the maze. And so we're wondering all the time, you know, what's the maze? Why are they in the maze? How did they get there? And it takes a while for some of those explanations to come. So the focus is initially on this community of young people and how they handle situations, which psychologically is very interesting and the acting is quite good. Eventually, we and the camera do go into the maze. And I don't think this will spoil anything, but there are some really peculiar special effects created monsters in the maze. And so it's very difficult for anybody to get through. And even once they got through, what on earth is on the other side.
Guys, can't we send someone after them?
That's against the rules.
Either they make it back or they don't.
Can't risk losing anyone else.
Do you know what, Peter? I have to say, I can see why this film is popular, but it suggests to me, and the likes of The Hunger Games and so forth, that obviously filmmakers are thinking, or rather the producers and distribution houses are thinking, I reckon teenagers have got quite a lot of cash because, you know, these films are very much aimed at teenagers. They maybe think that they can liberate money from their parents to go along if they don't have it themselves. But why is it? We always have to sort of throw teenagers into games where their lives are in danger. What's that trend all about?
I think young adult literature might be the quick answer, that all these films are based on novels which have been very, very popular, from The Hunger Games to The Divergent, even The Giver, which we found actually was written 20 years ago, so it predates these other ones. And again, The Maze Runner, they all have the potential for sequels. The Maze Runner ends particularly, you think, yes, now it's going to come with a sequel. Although I have not too much idea what the sequel could lead us to, so there's a bit of mystery. But it shows young men and women in heroic light. So from the films that you've mentioned, Hunger Games and Divergent, the female leading the group, and The Giver and The Maze Runner, it's a young man. So I think it's a trend. It's become popular. It's raising questions about the present. It's raising questions about what happens if there are disasters in the future, how will we survive, and what's the role of young people? And to that extent, I suppose, very interesting.
I'm going to conclude with this question, Peter. Lack of original ideas in Hollywood. We've talked about the translations from books, either written now or, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Do you think that Hollywood's drying up a bit? Where are the original screenplays?
I think there are some, but the trouble is, most stories have been told already, that we can take that. But the variations on them and the way that they're handled makes a difference. A film I saw the other day called Whiplash, it's a film about training for being in a band. Now, that's happened a lot. But this one, given the character of the young adult, a drummer, and especially the character of the instructor played by J.K. Simmons, and I think there might be a few Oscar or Golden Globe nominations for this one, is actually treated in quite an intense and therefore different way from what we might have been expecting. And I think the combination of expectations and variations on the theme makes the film popular.
Excellent. That's our three films, Peter, for this month. Maze Runner, which is a 12A over here in the UK. The Judge, that's a 15 certificate. And Gone Girl, an 18. Father Peter Malone, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Really appreciate your time yet again this month, and I'm presuming you're all too keen to come back and do this again next month.
Well, we'd better provide some films as your skies darken at the end of the year, and people may want to see something in the cinema or on video, but just something on film. So let's focus on that.
We certainly shall. Well, the home of Faith and Film, our new podcast series, is catholicnews.org.uk. You can check us out there. And of course, if you like your podcast via downloads, then we've got our Faith and Film on RSS, and you can also get it on iTunes. Just search for Faith and Film. Peter, thank you very much, and we'll be back with all our listeners next month.